Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be here. It's actually good to be back. I want to come and thank you on behalf of Cross Point Fellowship, on behalf of my family and personally for the blessing that you have been to me and to starting that church down in Kingston. Open Arms has played a vital role in us coming sort of out of the ground in that respect. And it was really because of Pastor John and Pastor Kevin's mentorship and friendship and how they've come alongside of us and encouraged us and provided different levels of support over the years that we've been able to grow and be a blessing in our communities. But I wanted to back up just a hair and share with you about how we ended up there. As Pastor John shared, I'd spent about 20 years in business down in our area, and I loved it. I thrived on it, was reasonably good at it, had a pretty good batting average, but there was nothing about it that I didn't enjoy. I loved waking up every day. I loved going in there. But one day I was down in New York City meeting with some of our investors, and I was standing at the top of a subway. And all of a sudden, I started seeing souls walking past me going to hell. And it broke my heart. Just broke my heart. And I sat there at the top of that subway, and I started weeping. And I thought, boy, I must look like a kook. And I looked around me and thought I'd blend right in. But as I left there that day, I thought, that's it. I'm out. God was calling me to full-time ministry. I didn't know where or how, but I knew I needed to get my roots down and get better grounded in the Word of God to be able to serve effectively. And I started searching for a seminary. And within probably weeks of when I was able to get out of business, ended up on a mission trip to Cuba. And I met somebody in Cuba that lived in my little hometown of Hurley, about 1,500 people, and she pointed me to Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary. I'd been searching and didn't even know the seminary was here, and came up and met with the director at the time, and he shared with me their approach to equipping men to serve him. They teach faithfully from the Word of God, and they're here to encourage us and support us, but it was all biblically based, and I thought, I'm in. And 3 weeks later, I started seminary. And it was going through that process that I met Pastor John and Pastor Kevin. We were students. He wouldn't let me copy his notes or anything like that, but no. But I also met a man named Jim Arendt. Jim was the director of the Hudson Baptist Association at the time, and Jim was teaching a course on church planning. And I thought that was a pretty cool concept, so I signed up to take the course. I was like a sponge trying to learn everything that I could at the time. And it was going through that course that the God, I think, called me powerfully to be a church planner. I discovered that new churches are 10 times more effective than older churches at reaching new people for Jesus Christ. And I thought, wow, wow. And it blew me away. It really did. And I realized the reason why is because you were focused on reaching out to new people and helping them grow and become the people that God wanted them to be. And it was really focused on multiplication. And I signed on. I looked at the gifts and the skills and things that people said that church planners needed. And I thought, well, you know, that's me. I'm an entrepreneur. I've started businesses and things, and I've got a lot of that experience. So I signed on and got more and more training. And we were able to start with the support of Open Arms and the Hudson Baptist Association and some other partners. And it's been a neat journey. It really has. We have a little over 100 people that come together every week down there. We sent a church out. You guys became grandparents a couple months ago. To start a church down in a little village called Tilson, about 20 miles south of us, back in May. And Rich Wright, who's the pastor, was a man like me and like a lot of you. He was sitting in the pews and a part of a church, and he was growing, and God was getting a hold of his heart. And Rich is sort of the anti-me. I can stand up here. My knees are knocking a little bit, but if Rich were up here right now, you'd hear his knees over in Scotia. He is a quiet, gentle, humble guy, and he is the anti-type A church planner that people tend to think about. And it was really cool to see God get a hold of Rich's heart, or get a hold of his heart, and he was just willing to be obedient. So scared to death, way over his head, he stepped out and left his best friends in a church that loved him and that he loved being a part of, and he went out there obediently to serve Christ in his hometown. And we're giving him a lot of support, but Rich opened my eyes to a pretty powerful lesson along the way, is that God uses each one of us just the way we are. We don't need to fit this little bill and little job description, different characteristics and attributes. God has made you, and he has gifted you, and he has equipped you, and he's called every one of us to serve him just the way you are. You don't have to be Pastor John or Pastor Kevin or me, and you're probably thankful for that. But you can be you and go out there and share the love of Jesus Christ and do that in a whole bunch of different ways. Here inside of Open Arms, and also as potential church planners or members of church planning teams, you can make an incredible difference. And that's what I wanted to talk to you about today, is the difference that you can make individually for the kingdom of God, for the glory of Jesus Christ, right here, right where you are, just as you are. So I'm going to encourage you to do, if you have your Bibles, to open them up. We're going to take a look in the book of Ephesians, at Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to look at one verse tonight. Actually, this morning. I'm used to meeting on Saturday nights, so I have to get used to being a morning person here. Actually, by the glory of God and the grace of God, we're starting our third worship service right after the first of the year on Sunday mornings. So we, much like you, have run out of space, and we're just trying to figure out a way to make that happen. But the book of Ephesians was written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Ephesus. And Paul always challenges me whenever I read his writings, and it's God challenging me through Paul. But like a lot of his books, the book of Ephesians was structured basically and split in half. The first three chapters are focused on doctrine, what we should believe. He really grounds us in who we are, how we can come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, who the church is, his called out people, his body here on earth to do his kingdom work. And then beginning in chapter 4 and verse 1, there's an incredible transition, therefore. And we take off for the rest of the next three chapters of the book of Ephesians, and we learn how to live it out and put it into practice. So today what we're going to focus on is that one verse, Ephesians 4:16, where it tells us that you can make a difference in the vital role that you play. And it says, from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So we're going to take a look at this morning are two ways that you make a difference, that you personally can make an incredible difference to the kingdom of God, the church here at Open Arms, to the people that you know and love the best, and do it all for the glory of God. So the first thing we're going to look at is that you contribute to the church's unity. You make a difference in contributing to the church's unity. And we can see that in several different ways. We see it that from Jesus, the whole body, that's everybody, the called out people of God, everybody, nobody left out, the whole body, joined and held together, grows and builds itself up. Every one of you makes a difference. This church is incomplete if you aren't joined, held together, contributing to what's going on. God has made you. He has gifted you. He has blessed you to be the person that you are, uniquely and individually. I am no more Pastor John Mulligan than anybody else in this room. I can't preach like him. I can't counsel like him. I can't be him. And God doesn't want me to be. He wants me to be me, the person that he has made me to be, and that's who he wants you to be. And one of the things I wanted to encourage you about is that every one of you, as we come together as a church, the whole church, with nobody sitting on the sidelines, everybody doing their part, we serve more faithfully, more effectively, more joyfully. And as we come together, not just on Sunday mornings to worship God, but as we live life together and commit to one another in preserving that unity, you will be blessed. And you will be a blessing, and you will bring glory to God. So it's everybody. It's the whole body. And we see here, it's a wonderful word, it's joined. We're literally joined together. Jesus creates the unity of the church. He did that through his work on the cross. There's no difference between us. We are one. One people, one body in Christ. And he has fit us together in a body. And he does this wonderful work by sort of merging our different gifts and skills and passions. And what he does is a work that's sort of like putting a jigsaw puzzle together. As a kid, I used to grow up going to my grandparents' house. He was sort of the patriarch of the family, and my grandmother sat in the background and just sort of whistled as she went about her day. But she loved jigsaw puzzles. And every year, right at Thanksgiving, she would pull out this mega jigsaw puzzle. I don't know how many pieces were in it, but they needed a 4x8 sheet of plywood that they would put up in their library at their house. And all the 12 grandkids would come around, and we would spend the time from Thanksgiving to Christmas sitting around this great big hunk of plywood putting this jigsaw puzzle together. And it was a really cool thing to do. You know, you'd separate the edge pieces, and you begin putting them together. You look for the common colors and how they fit, and then the shapes. You know, there are little round nubs on the ends, and some of them with the big square blocks. And you'd find out where things fit together. And bit by bit, you piece the jigsaw puzzle together. And that's a lot like the church of Jesus Christ. We are all shaped differently. But he connects every one of us. We all have a role to play and a place that we fit in. And one of the things that I've learned as a pastor, I need to be really careful that I don't do in our church what I used to do as a puzzle maker. I used to jam some pieces into that thing. You know, as we get close to Christmas, things would get a little competitive. And being type A, you know, I wanted to get done and I wanted to get as many pieces in there as I could. Well, sometimes there were ones that looked sort of close and I would just take them and push on them and sometimes pound on them till they fit in there. And we don't want to do that in the church. We want to be a blessing to you. And Pastor John has taught me this, and he has modeled this both through his teaching when I was here at the seminary and in practice here at Mid-America, at Open Arms, but that he cares for you individually, and so does Pastor Kevin. Their heart is to help you discover how God has made you to find a place in ministry that fits you, so that you can be blessed and that you can be a blessing, living out the life that God has called you to live. They don't want you to be anybody other than who you are. And it was great for me to hear that, to watch that being put into practice, and then to take it back and start modeling that at Crosspoint. We have a lot of ministries at Crosspoint that we would love to do, and I don't do them because I don't have the people that really feel called or gifted at this time in their life to step up and fill those roles. So instead of putting in people in roles that's going to burn them out and stretch them, you know, where they don't belong, we just let those ministries sit. And really, at this point, we do two things. We do discovery groups, Bible studies that Pastor Kevin taught me about when I was going through training to be a church planner. You know, groups of people that come together and open up the Word of God. We discover what it says, and we apply it to our lives. And we encourage one another. And it's a safe environment to do that. It's where we grow and where we bring blessing to one another. So we do discovery groups, and we do community service. But there's a couple other ministries that I wish we had the people with the heart and the gifting and the passion to lead, but we don't yet. So we don't do them. There's a whole bunch of things I'm sure that you would dream of doing here at Open Arms, but Pastor John and Pastor Kevin and your team here, they're thoughtful about it, and they keep you really in your sweet spot, and you do a wonderful job of that. Open Arms is one of the churches that we point to, and one of the few churches that we actually point to that is phenomenally healthy. You guys get it. You live it out. You're not one of those churches that has turned inward. You're a church that's focused on reaching out to the unchurched. People that don't have a church where they can grow and know Jesus Christ and come into relationship with Him to help each other be built up. You heard Pastor John talk about that even this morning. You guys get it. You put it into practice. You love one another. I loved the joy in the room as I came in this morning, and even as I was standing in the front, to hear you interacting with one another. You love each other. You love coming here. You're blessed. It's filled with joy. This is a healthy, vibrant, reproducing church. As I said, that you don't also hang on to your own here. It's not like it's all about Open Arms. It's all about Jesus Christ. And your pastors get that, and you get that. You aren't holding on to your people, unwilling to let them go. You've released people to go start churches. You've modeled that for us. You've given financially. You've served in terms of missions teams and pastoral support for us as we got going. You've had people praying for us since the day we started. You have made an incredible difference to me personally and to our church, and you have blessed a whole bunch of churches up in this region. As Pastor John shared, when they got here years ago, I think there were four churches, dropped down to two, and now there's about 28. God is doing an incredible work through church planting through this whole region, and it isn't churches, it's people that have come together as a church that are doing this work. And it's people just like you and just like me, wired just the way you are, putting it into practice in God's strength, and for God's glory. So He has joined us together in a wonderful way to serve Him effectively. And He also tells us that we're held together. And in the book of Colossians, in verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 17, tells us how Jesus holds everything together. He sustains it all. He has created the universe. There is not a molecule that's floating out there that is not held together by Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that He is controlling everything that happens, but it means that He is sovereign. And He holds it all together, He sustains it, and He protects His church. And I love the next word because it says we're held together by every supporting ligament. Did you ever know that you were a ligament? Well, you are. And a ligament is something that holds things together. In this context, you have a role to play in holding the church together. The Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 12, verse 5, that we are one because of Jesus, because of what He's done on the cross. He has created the unity. You don't create unity. That took me a while to get through my head. God did that work. But we have the privilege and the responsibility and the opportunity of preserving that unity. We do contribute to it, and we play a significant role in that. Each and every one of you are a ligament that helps connect, draw things together, create flexibility with inside the church, but so you can function more effectively and fully as a church. You do that in a lot of different ways. In your interpersonal relationships with one another, as you greet one another and encourage one another, as you pray for one another, as you love, and as you forgive, and as you extend grace to one another when we mess up. And we do that, don't we? Because we're imperfect people. But you're a church that's growing and thriving in large part because you get this and because you put it into practice. So we are joined, we are held together, and you play a significant role in that. So you contribute to the unity of the church. The church in Ephesus, it was incredibly diverse. I mean, it was incredibly diverse, that city back at that time. There were Jews and Gentiles and every slice of life you ever wanted to see, and they were in the Church of Jesus Christ. And they were unified because of God's work, because the people preserved that unity. In the room today, we're reasonably diversified. You know, we laughed about it earlier, but, you know, we've got Republicans and Democrats, conservatives and liberals, I would suspect, in here. You've got rich people and poor people. You got happy people and people that are experiencing some pain. And maybe most significantly, we have Yankee fans and Mets fans. No, I'm sorry. I like the Mets. No, I'm not going that far. God is still working in me. But we are unified. Yes, we can even love Red Sox fans. We can do that. But look at the joy that you guys have here. What I want to encourage you right now is that you make a difference to the unity of the Church of Jesus Christ. You contribute to the unity. You have the privilege and the opportunity. And I want to encourage you to be intentional about that. To be aware of the responsibility and the opportunity that you have to preserve unity in this body. Because you truly do make a difference. You can pull in the people that are disenfranchised, that are sitting out on the edges. You can care for the weak and the wounded. You can support your leadership. You can contribute actively. You make a difference individually to the body of Christ right here at Open Arms. So the second thing I wanted to look at is that you also contribute to the church's effectiveness. And you have a significant impact on the effectiveness of the church. We see that the body, the church, grows. Well, all living things, every living thing is designed to grow and to reproduce. Including churches. Churches grow and they reproduce. And honestly, many churches, all churches, I think, have a lifespan as well. I don't think there's any churches that are in existence today as a local body of people that were in existence 2,000 years ago. Churches are birthed. They live, they grow, they reproduce, and eventually they die. We have a bad theology of death sometimes in the Christian community. The death of a church isn't always a bad thing. If you've given birth and supported other churches, Open Arms is probably sitting right at one of the most beautiful pinnacles of the growth of a church that you will ever see, and you are all actively a part of it. You have grown, you have matured, you have life and vibrancy, you're thriving as a church because you're thriving as individuals. You're sending out people, you're supporting people, you're praying for them, you're conducting ministry in this community, you're ministering to each other in this body. You guys get it. You're living it out, and you are thriving. And my guess is you will plant many more churches, you will reach many more people, but 100 years from now, or 500 years from now, if Christ hasn't come back, I don't know if there will be an Open Arms. But what I do know is that the kingdom will be bigger. And it will be healthier and filled with more people because of the work that you are doing right here. And I give God praise for that. And I give you thanks and appreciation for what you're doing and the difference that you're making. So you contribute as a church grows. And I want to encourage you just for a minute to imagine that the difference that you make individually, because all things grow, and we also need to grow together and in balance. And if we gave birth to a baby, which we've done a couple times in our family, it'd be pretty horrible if our kids grew, but their heads didn't. Can you imagine a little head on top of a big body? I'm getting closer to that, actually, but it wouldn't be functional. It'd be unhealthy. You know, what if I had little arms and I couldn't go out and do all the things that I was really designed to do? Or if my organs didn't grow in proportion to my body, my lungs were small, and I'd be restricted, I'd be constrained. At some level, I would be not the person that God had designed me to be. And a church can be that too. So it depends significantly on you as individuals growing in a balanced, healthy way to become the people that God wants you to be so that the church can grow in a balanced, healthy way to be the entity that God has created it to be. So it requires balance. It requires growth. But we also see that Jesus really, I don't want to say he needs you. He wants you. He wants you to function fully. He wants you to function effectively as you do your work. And if you're sitting on the sidelines and you're not contributing at the level and a part of the church the way that God wants you to be, well, you know what? The church doesn't function as effectively as it should, does it? Because every one of you makes a difference. I had the experience, I talked about it at the earlier service. Nancy's got this wonderful way of gently humbling me and teaching me. And we live out in the cornfields, basically, right on the edge of the cornfields down in Hurley. And we have a decent-sized lawn, so when we moved in there, I had a push mower. And Nancy, knowing who typically tends to mow the lawns, she said, we need to get a tractor because I'm not going to push that thing all the time. And we went out and got a tractor that could mow our lawns. And then we put up a big dog pen. And we sized the gate just perfectly enough so I couldn't drive the tractor through it. So we had to get the push mower back out. So, you know, week after week, I'd go out there every week and mow that lawn. And one week, we went out as part of our community service team, and I took my little tractor and lawnmower down the street to do some of our neighbor's lawns. And I was going out doing an area that had grown up about this high. And I couldn't mow through it, so I tipped the tractor or the lawnmower up and was pushing through. And being Joe type A, I was pushing through pretty hard and pretty fast and not watching. And I went, bam, and I hit something hard. And my lawnmower shuddered and stopped dead in my hands. And I thought I did a bad thing. So I sifted through the grass to see what I had hit, and it was an iron bar that was a property marker. And it was about 2 inches thick, and it just devastated the blade on my lawnmower, my little push mower. But I kept going. You know, I finished the lawn because I wanted to be a blessing to the family, and took the lawnmower home back about five houses down the road to my house, and I spent the rest of the summer mowing our lawn with that little lawnmower in the same condition. It wasn't fun. I didn't take time to care for the lawnmower. I just wanted to get the job done. So I'd get that thing out, and I'd start it up, and I'd go out to that dog pen, and I'd get in there and start doing my laps. And that lawnmower, because it was damaged and out of balance, shook really hard. High RPMs, and it was doing bad things. So I'd go and do my laps, and it was shaking my hands and my body, and I actually hurt. You know, I'd start shaking even after I finished mowing the lawn. And I actually discovered myself one day going out and taking Advil before I went to mow the lawn. And that's when I knew that I had a problem. So this went on literally for months. I think it started in May. And by August or September, that lawnmower had just about reached the end of its life. It was tired. And I hadn't cared for it. And it started shaking things loose. And first went the nut off the end of one of the wheels. And the lock washer went off. And then the wheel went off. And I couldn't find the nut, I couldn't find the washer. I found the wheel and put the wheel back on and kept trying to mow the lawn. But as it shook, the wheel just kept wobbling off and falling. And I finally thought, well, this is for the birds. So I stuck the wheel up on top of the fence, and I spent the rest of the morning mowing this big area inside this pen. Well, I don't know if you've ever tried to mow a lawn with a lawnmower with three wheels, but it doesn't go well. So I'm fighting to keep this thing up level. And I'm going through the lawn, and it's shaking and doing its stuff because of the blade underneath it. And I realized, well, you know, I got it done. Not a big deal. So I brought the wheel into the garage and set it on a shelf. And next week I came out and thought, I never took care of that wheel. And I got to go mow the lawn again. And I got my little three-wheeled lawnmower out, and I mowed that lawn again. It's about an area about the size of the sanctuary in here. And I did this week after week until Nancy finally woke me up one day and said, Pedro, it's time. You know, we need a new lawnmower. Look at the lawn. And the grass was growing like this, you know, really imbalanced because I was pretty imbalanced. It was hard. It was straining my body trying to hold that thing up and prop it up. And as I was doing that, I got a pretty good picture of what life in the church can be like sometimes. And my heart started to break about that because I realized that I had blown it in some respects. And it took that wheel to teach me the lesson. When we have people that are damaged and need care, we need to set aside time to care for those people. And you have two pastors here that are gifted at doing that. They have hearts. They're huge. They're equipped. They're gifted. They're skilled. They care. They invest the time. You can't fix somebody that doesn't want to be fixed. That's just something we've never quite figured out a way to do that. But you have men that are committed to caring for this body. And you have modeled that for me. And even as I was sharing this with John, it gave me a great picture of what a healthy church is and what it takes to care for people. You care for one another. We invest the time to come alongside each other. If I had taken the time to care for my little lawnmower and make the repairs that I needed, it wouldn't have strained me the way that it did. the output, the product that I was getting, would have been vastly different. The lawn actually would have been level and cared for. It wouldn't have had strain. I wouldn't have caused strain in the relationship with Nancy, having to look at that tilted grass, you know, for a month or so. If I had just taken the time to get everything working properly. Well, you have an opportunity here at Open Arms to do that. You know, I don't know if any of you have fallen off the lawnmower here at Open Arms or never plugged yourself in, but I want to encourage you today to make sure that you come together as a church. Every one of you has a role to play here. God has made you, He has gifted you, He has equipped you, and He will use you just the way you are to be a blessing, to reach people for Christ, to help His kingdom grow. You have a role to play. And this church will never function fully and effectively if you don't connect. Your pastors are here to care for you and to support you. Engage them. You know, let them know where you need to grow. Let them know what care that you need to make sure that you can fit in and be a vibrant part of this church. And as you do it, you will find that you never grow spiritually as much as you do when you plug in and put into practice what God has called you to do. So I just really wanted to stress this morning something that took me so long to get, that it isn't the pastors, it isn't the strategy, it isn't the ministries that we do, it's the people of the church. It's you, and it's me coming together and being the body that Jesus Christ has called us to be. And if you will faithfully and obediently put that into practice, this church will never be the same. You're already living it out. That's why you're building a new building. You're already experiencing significant growth. You're experiencing facility growth because of the spiritual growth that you're experiencing as individuals. That is a wonderful physical reminder and affirmation of the work that God is doing in you and through you. I just want to encourage you today. Keep it up. You know, you've been a wonderful model for me, for Rich Wright down in Tilson, and for the other 28 churches in the HBA. I don't know that people share this with you very often, but we point at you. You're one of the churches that really get it and live it out. And I praise God for you. And I thank you for the difference that you make. It takes sacrifice, it takes courage, and it takes obedience. And when you think about that, to become the people that God has called us to be, it says here at the bottom that we build ourselves up in love. Well, that's agape love. That's the love that God has for you and for me. That's the love of the cross. That love is an unconditional love. It doesn't depend on what it gets in return. It's choice by the giver. Sacrificial, unconditional, it is an outgrowth of the character of the giver. And if you will commit to loving one another the way that Jesus Christ loves you, man, what an increasingly beautiful and effective church this will be. We never deserved God's love. We never deserved God's grace or God's mercy, but He chooses to give it to us. And I'm really, really grateful for that. Because on my best day, compared to our holy God, I'm not that lovable. Just not. Nancy would tell you that if she were here. But you have the privilege of coming alongside one another and extending that same agape love to the people that are here and the people that will come and the people that you engage out in the community. Unconditional, sacrificial, it's a choice. It doesn't depend on what you get in return. You do it to be a blessing for the benefit of the person that you're choosing to love. And as you learn to love, to build each other up in that type of love, you will extend forgiveness, you will extend grace, you'll extend yourselves and give of your very self to be a blessing to the people that are in your community. And the person that may be blessed the most is you, as you put it into practice in that context. God is glorified, you're blessed, and you bring a blessing, and that's a pretty good package deal any day of the week. So we build each other up in love, and we also see that each part does its work. And we talked about that. I don't know what your spiritual gifts are. I don't know what your skills and your experiences are. I don't know what your passions are, but you do, and you can discover them, and you can identify them, and you can communicate with your pastors. And I know these men, and I know their heart's desire is just to see you become the person that God wants you to be. So they will come alongside you and help you plug in a way that will bless you richly and deeply. But you're the one that really needs to take the initiative to reach out to your pastors. They're here. They're caring for you. And they will find a way for you to help make Open Arms the church that God wants it to be. So, you make a difference. And if you get nothing else this morning out of this, I hope you know that you make a difference to God, to your church, and to the people that are around you every single day. You make a difference because you contribute to the church's unity. And you make a difference because you can contribute to the church's effectiveness. The applications this morning are really pretty basic. And I intentionally use the word choose for all three of them. Because this is a matter of your will. It's a decision of your mind. It's a decision of your character. And I want to encourage you this morning to examine these and to pick at least one of them and to put it into practice. Choose to serve within the church. Open Arms needs you to be the church that God wants it to be. There are people here and people in the community that need you to serve. You are better equipped than anybody else in this entire world to reach certain people in your lives. Because of your relationships, your experiences, your gifting, whatever it would be, there are, in some cases, there is nobody better than you to minister to the people in your life. So God has an opportunity for you, each and every one of you, to put this into practice. And I want to encourage you to choose to share what you know. You don't need to be a theologian to share the love of Jesus Christ. You don't need to come to Mid-America. I would encourage you to explore coming to Mid-America, to learn the Word of God at a deeper level. But if you've come to know Jesus Christ and entered into a personal living relationship with Him as your Lord and Savior, share what you know. That testimony this morning during the baptism is one of the most beautiful things I've heard in ages. It was a wonderful picture of your before, how you came to faith in Christ, and what your life has been like afterwards. Sharing what you know will reach people for Jesus Christ. You will inspire people and give them a vision of the difference that He can make. Share along the way. And then finally, I just want to encourage you to share what you have. Because everything you have is a gift from God. On our best day, all we've ever done is make a little bit more of what God has blessed us with. We are stewards. We are managers of what He's entrusted to our care. And you and I have the privilege and we have the opportunity of putting that into practice, of sharing of what we have, our time, our talents, and our treasure. And if we can just remember that it's not ours to hang on to, but it's ours to use for His glory, you will discover more purpose and joy and peace and significance in your life than you have ever dreamed of. So this morning, I want to encourage you to let go and let God. Let Him have His way with you. And I'm going to ask you now, if you would, to join me in prayer as we seek what God may be asking you to do to become the person that He wants you to be. Father God, I am grateful that we can come to You all because of You. I'm thankful for Your love and the relationship that You offer us through Jesus Christ, the life, God, that we can have in You and for You. And God, I'm grateful for each person in this room right now. God, we're here because You have drawn us to You. And God, we all desire to know You more and more fully. So right now, God, I pray that through Your Word and Your Spirit that You would speak to each one of us, God, and identify areas in our life, God, that we can turn over to You. God, that we could be who You've made us to be. God, help us to rejoice in the fact that we make a difference, Lord, for the privilege and the opportunity that You've given us. God, I pray that You'd help us to understand that everything we do can be in Your strength and for Your glory. And Lord God, I pray for each person here today that You would help us to identify areas that we could serve Your church. God, for opportunities that we have to share who You are and the difference that You make. And God, I pray that You'd help us to be abandoned and obedient and even lavish, God, in our giving of what You've entrusted to our care. And God, for everything that we give of our time, talents, and treasure, I pray that You would receive it as an act of worship. And with those steps of obedience, God, I pray that You'd help us to become the people that You died so that we could become. We love You, God, and we give ourselves to You. And we do it in Jesus' name. Amen.